Hello, hello! Welcome to How to Be a Changemaker. I am so excited to have you here. If you are an organizational leader and have a deep desire to one, motivate yourself better and to lead yourself with deeper courage, confidence, and conviction, two, empower your employees to be their best, and three, innovate and create a work culture that allows everybody to thrive, you are in the right place. My name is Samantha Clark. I am your host. I'm a happiness consultant and resident change maker here, and I cannot wait to share with you all the gems and amazing goodness in this episode. Take a seat, get ready to enjoy, and tuck in. Hello, hello. I am so excited today because I am speaking to the consummate, healer, mental well-being kind of advocate, Yasmin Cheyenne. Please let me know if that's the best way to pronounce your surname as well, because I've been like practicing, but I want to make sure it's
No, that's it. You did amazing. Hi. Thank you for having me.
What has been the highlight of your week so far?
This week, the Sex and the City reboot, honestly. I'm a huge fan of the show, so I was really excited to be able to unplug from things. I'm not a big show watcher, but that's one of the shows that I watched back in the day. So yeah, it was nice to do something that required me to do nothing.
I love that. And we're getting, I guess, close to the season. The holidays are coming up where hopefully there is a chance to do nothing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the key ways that you're going to nourish yourself through the holidays? Because you are the queen of creating content that is really about self-coaching yourself, right? To heal. So what are some of your go-tos to do that as we approach the holidays?
Yeah, you know, I think I just want to say really quickly too that I think self-coaching, self-healing is so important because so many of us, you know, first of all, therapy is important, coaches are important. All of those things are such amazing tools if we have access to them. But if we don't have access to them, or perhaps we're in a place in our life where we can't afford them or something like that, being able to be there for yourself is key. And so during a time like the holidays, where so many of us are, it should be a time of relaxation, but it's a time where we actually end up sometimes doing more. So for myself, a recovering perfectionist, I always remind myself that sometimes the expectations I place on myself, no one has actually asked for. I'm telling myself I have all of these things to do that I have assigned myself to do. So one of the ways that I'm nourishing myself this season is by not putting anything extra on my plate. I don't have to necessarily set the table in a specific way if I don't want to. I don't have to make cookies from scratch if I don't have the time and if I'm not enjoying it. You know, stopping and asking myself, is this something that's adding to me or is this something that's depleting me? Mm-hmm. And if it's something that's depleting me, I don't have space for it this season. And so I think that that is one of the ways that I'm trying to practice. And I'm always doing that. I'm always trying to practice how I can let myself off the hook from all of the responsibilities that I give myself.
I love that. When you think about the journey that's led you to where you are today, how, if you were to give this in like maybe five chapter headings, what would they be?
Oh my gosh. That's such a good question. the first one that led me to where I am is, you know, it would be my grandmother. Just the nourishing support that you don't know, always recognize you're receiving at the time. And then you look back and you realize, wow, that really laid the foundation. I think the second one would be my time as a victim advocate. It really was the seed that was planted that started my interest in how I could support people through really tough or traumatic times. The third would be my children. They invited me to go deeper into my healing work because I wanted to, like so many moms, dads, parents in general, who want to provide a healthy environment for their family to grow. In order for them to have that, we have to be committed to being healthy people. And so I think that really dove me really deep into that work. The fourth would be my community, the people around me, the friends, my family, the people that I've been lucky to be able to rely on, because sometimes we have a story around the, you know, I worked really hard. I got myself here. Yes, I worked really hard and I got myself here. But the people who supported me helped me be able to do what I'm doing today, and the people who continue to support me. And I think the last one would be I'm a student to life. I do consider myself to be a self-healing expert because of the work and the education and time and hours I've spent helping people do this and watching and seeing the transformations in their life. And at the same time, I recognize that I still have so much to learn, so much to unpack, so much to uncover. And I think that really helps me to stay grounded and stay open to what could potentially unveil itself to me. It's really hard, in my opinion, to be in healing work and not be open to that idea that you don't know it all, because it's because we don't. Everyone is different and everyone is individual. And each person I meet or each time I create content, I'm thinking about how this will translate to anyone who will come in contact with it. And that kind of makes me stay open and stay a learner for myself personally and as a person in business.
I love the perpetual learning. Mm-hmm. What's been the say that obviously you've spent a lot of time building your skills so that you can create such rich resources. But what was a challenge or something that was difficult for you to process and learn?
I think I definitely had to learn how to not let what other people think about what I'm doing impact what I choose to do. Mm. It's one of the reasons I talk about it the most, because I think it's something that I personally had to learn, but I don't know anyone who hasn't had to learn that lesson. And I also don't know anyone who's still learning that isn't still learning that lesson. When we say, oh, I don't care what anyone thinks because I just do what I want, I would invite you to go deeper and see, do you really not care what anyone thinks? Or have you blocked off a part of yourself and you don't have access to those emotions? Because I think we're wired to care what people think. And it doesn't mean that it has to impact or stop us from what we're doing. And that is the distinction that I think I really had to learn, especially on social media. Because when I started writing on social media, I had probably 200 followers. Mm-hmm. So to be where I am now, when, you know, 151,000 people could tell me how they feel about me at any time, it's something that you definitely have to have a boundary around. And I recognize that I'm lucky that I think I have a really beautiful community that's genuinely there to learn. And that's the community that I wanted to create. This isn't necessarily about me. It's about how we can come together and do this work together. But also, I don't know them and they don't know me. And learning how to not take things personally, but also give myself space to process anything that feels tough or triggering or hard, or maybe sometimes it's just mean. And I think that that's really something that I've had to learn as my business has shifted into more of a public facing, just more access to more people that I didn't necessarily think was coming when I started, you know?
I like that. And when you think about, you know, you stepping out into this more public facing realm, a lot of the people that I work with, finding their voice is something that can be quite challenging, whether it's in a work scenario or a relationship, even honoring their own voice to themselves. What really helped you shape your voice and your presence and what it is that you want to say?
You know, I think this is so important. You really have to block out other people. Well, you don't have to, but I find it helpful to block out other people. Maybe they're in your same field, or maybe they're, you know, people you admire. To block out the urge to do what you see someone else doing. Anytime I'm in a place of comparison, which we all get into, right? Because we're humans. It's usually because I'm thinking about how I'm not doing what someone else is doing. And I remind myself in those moments, I'm not supposed to be doing what they're doing. They're supposed to be doing what they're doing. I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think when I'm really clear, when I write, when I speak, when I do podcast interviews, if I'm doing something on TV, if I'm teaching, I always remind myself, I'm here to share what I know to be true. I'm not here to share anything else, anybody else's truth. I'm here to teach what I have learned and what in the experience that I have and, you know, all of the educational, things that I've done. That's what I'm here to share. Lean on your own wisdom. Lean on your own knowledge. Lean on what you already know and have to be true and bring that forward with your own experiences. You have your own stories. You have your own background, what your family has been through, your own culture. Bring that into your work. Don't try to do what someone else is doing just because that's popular for them. It's such a drain. And it's so unfortunate because everybody has a way to bring something forward with their own spin, their own sauce on it. And when you we often get caught up sometimes in other people's work, and it's just such a disservice to the people who are waiting for you to bring forward what you have to offer. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be easier said than done sometimes, but it's a constant reminding and a constant remembering. You don't have to be an expert at this. You don't have to. I'm definitely not perfect. And when it comes to my own healing work, I have to remind myself, like, you can do this. I get nervous. Mm. All of those things happen. But I think reminding yourself in those moments of comparison or in those moments of, do I matter? What I'm saying or what I have to say, does it matter? Reminding yourself that, yes, it does matter, not only because it matters to you, but there are people who are waiting for what you have to say.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful. Because I think that's the big thing, isn't it? We don't realize how much value we sit on sometimes.
Absolutely.
At the detriment to others around us and even to ourselves long term, because we might become resentful of not sharing an idea that we've been holding on to or incubating for so long.
Mm-hmm. And there's a book by Elizabeth Gilbert called Big Magic. Mm. In the book, she talks about how sometimes, you know, if you hold on to an idea, or if an idea that you have maybe isn't meant to be yours, it depends on how woo-woo you are and what you believe, but it'll pass on to someone else and they'll have now they will create the idea. And I like to think of ideas like that. I like to think of creativity in that way. When something comes my way, it's mine to make my own. Somebody else may get that same kind of inspiration, but their book or their art or their song isn't going to sound like mine. And so having that knowing is what keeps me creating. Otherwise, if I was concerned about how it was going to impact, how people were going to respond to it or what people were going to think, I could never share a post. I could never write anything. I would be completely caught up in the reaction of, is this going to go viral? Or is this going to impact people? It's more so, how is this post going to hopefully impact the one person that it was meant for, that this was sent to me to share? Mm. And then it always ends up being more than one who resonates. And I think that's the beauty of staying true to your voice.
Mm. What does it feel like when you don't stay true to your voice? Like, are you very conscious of when you're not aligned?
I am very conscious when I'm not aligned. Especially when it comes to the work that I do, because I feel like when I am creating or when I'm teaching or when I'm sharing a post, I make sure that I'm sharing from a place of how I'm in a place of holding space. Mm-hmm. This isn't about, and I think when you're a facilitator in healing work or self-care or wellness, it's really important to do your own personal healing work so mm-hmm. that when you show up in these spaces or when you're teaching or when you're writing, that you are able to put the boundaries in place that you need to remove you from the work so that you're doing the work as a service versus mm-hmm. your own personal feelings and emotions. I have many personal feelings and emotions that don't have any bearing on what I teach or share because they're not relevant to what I'm teaching or sharing, because I'm holding space for the people who are consuming what I'm sharing or what I'm teaching. And so if I am going through something that is similar to what I'm writing, I often won't share it until I feel confident that I have worked through that emotion and I can write from a clear space, a boundaried space where I'm not putting my own ideas or perceptions, and of course I have my own ideas or perceptions that influence my work, but it's different. It's from a clearer, I want to make sure that it's not my opinion and that I have evidence that what I'm sharing is actually going to be impactful for the people that are consuming it in their lives. If I said something like, you know, I just don't think red is a good color, how is that relevant, you know, to anyone that's sharing or teaching it? But if I said red is a color that can sometimes allow people to feel powerful, especially people who identify as women, to feel powerful when they wear it or something like that, then people may be like, oh, you know, that's one of the reasons why I started wearing red lipstick, because it empowers me. You know, that isn't, now I'm sharing, I mean, this is just an example, but I'm sharing about how the color could potentially impact others. I'm leaving out how I might personally feel about the color red. I'm sharing about how it impacts others. And I think also, just to quickly say, I love the color red. This is just an example.
Yeah, I totally get you.
Yeah.
And I think it is that fine line, isn't it, between pushing your viewpoints versus actually how is this meant to shape and help somebody come to an alternative perspective.
It's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a quote of yours there's loads that I love. Thank and it you. Talks about boundaries aren't ultimatums, they're opportunities. This is something definitely a lot of my clients struggle with in terms of how do I create boundaries in a multitude of ways. It's boundaries between where does work end and my life begin? How do I create the space in my relationships to say what I need or to kind of draw a fine line? How do we start to see boundaries as opportunities and ways for us to excel and shine?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think it's important that we look at boundaries from the perspective of ourselves versus how we can impact or change other people. I think that's the major distinction when it comes to boundaries as opportunities for ourselves and others versus ultimatums. When we think about boundaries as a way to potentially change or control, not from a malicious way, but, you know, to get people to behave the way we want them to around us, to get people to respect us, to get people to show up. When we think of boundaries about how we can change people into doing those things, then our focus is on this is the boundary that I'm setting and you need to do it or you won't have access to me, kind of boundary, which is an ultimatum. It's not saying, hey, when you're around me, please don't comment on my body. That's a boundary versus you need to do this or I might. So when you think about boundaries from a healthy perspective, and just to share what boundaries are for anyone who doesn't know, boundaries are my definition of boundaries are the rules that we put in place that impact the way we deal, cope, communicate, interact with the people, places, and things that we're in relationship with, right? So in other words, it teaches other people or lets other people know what's acceptable in our relationships and it tells them what isn't. And so when you're setting healthy boundaries, the first place to start from the way that I teach is always with ourselves. First, how can I begin to change the way I show up, the way that I communicate with this person, the way that I am in relationship with this person? If I want them to, you know, be more available, first, why do I want them to be more available? What happens when when they're not available? What happens to me? What am I feeling? Do I feel lonely? Do I feel, you know, have I tried communicating what I need with them? What proof do I have that they're interested in being in relationship with me? Do I have any proof that shows that perhaps they're not interested in doing what I want to be done? Mm-hmm. And if you know, going through the steps with yourself first, it's not necessarily always about having a conversation with someone else. The first stop should be, what do I need from this person? Mm-hmm. Once you get clear about what you need, then maybe you need to go to your therapist next. or your coach next, or a friend next, and talk through it, and you know, gain more clarity, and then you know, eventually ask yourself, is this a person that I can have a conversation with and come to a healthy understanding? Do they have the capacity to understand what I'm about to ask? And if they do, engage in that conversation. But if they don't, if you don't think it's a safe conversation to have, and not safe as in necessarily your well-being, but is this person also doing some level of work where they will understand that I just want respect or more access to them or a deeper relationship or more communication? Or will this become a big fight? That's essentially what you're trying to discern. Because sometimes we are interested in having relationships with people who are not interested in having the same kind of relationship with us. And the boundary that's needed is with us, for us to respect who they are and recognize that what we need next is not necessarily boundaries, but we might need to grieve that the relationship that we want is not possible. And so the boundaries we put in place are, maybe I don't spend time with them in that way, or maybe we're not in a romantic relationship anymore because they're not interested in being committed. You know, whatever it is, boundaries always start with ourselves. I know that was a long answer, but I just wanted to, you know, really to share that, because during the holidays, this is the time where people, we're in the holidays now. This might not air during the holidays, but in the holidays, the new year, all of those times are times when we begin to think about new year, new me. How can I create better relationships? How can I have better boundaries and all of those things, and with the people that I'm in relationship with? And asking yourself, how am I perhaps not being honest with myself about who I'm in relationship with or who I'm committed to, is such a big key in having healthy boundaries, because you have to know why you are choosing these people who perhaps are not interested in giving you what you need or deserve or want to receive, or what you are doing for them. Why are they not doing it for you? Perhaps you chose someone who already showed you that they're not interested and you're ignoring the red flags. Like, all of the things that we could potentially figure out from within start with us being curious and self-aware and not necessarily changing others.
I love that. It reminds me of a question I always ask my clients, you know, when there are themes that are coming up and resurfacing over and over again around boundaries or the relationship that they'd like to have. You know, I always ask them, how are you complicit in creating some of these conditions that you say you don't want? Because it is, like you said, that inner landscape that we need to keep tending to really change what's happening on the outside. It's got nothing to do with anyone else.
Absolutely. And then sometimes it does, right? Sometimes people are rude. Sometimes people are being disrespectful sometimes. And then it's like the boundary is, you know, perhaps changing the access that they have to you. And yes, it's tough to sometimes walk away from relationships or change relationships. But the question is always for you. What do you want? Right? No one is ever going to necessarily make you do anything. What do you want? And how are you going to be able to care for yourself and be happy in your life with this person or this commitment there? Right? If it comes to something like work or your business, how are you going? Are you going to be happy showing up and doing this work if the contract isn't clear? No, you're going to want a clear contract so you understand what's going to happen. So those are boundaries. Contracts are boundaries. It sets the terms of how you're interacting with each other. In employment situations, understanding what your responsibilities are and your roles, those are boundaries. That's why we feel so violated when we don't get paid what we thought, or when we do more than we were supposed to at work and we get passed up for the promotion, or when we're asked to stay late consecutively when, you know, our work life, we already shared with our supervisor that our work life balance is off. Those are boundary violations. Sometimes other people are violating them, like a boss who's making us stay late. Sometimes we're violating them by saying yes to staying late when we know we don't want to. And all of those things are things that we have to check in with ourselves.
And consistently as well. It's not just a one-off thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of New Year, because that's often, you know, as we One thing I love about, it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere. I'm guessing for the Southern Hemisphere, you're kind of emerging for winter into the summer. And I find that for me, this winter time is, although it looks quiet and barren, like outside, I feel like there's so much happening beneath the surface that we have to really tune into. And I think the new year is that time to really contemplate what are some of the things that I need to let go of? What have I been constantly holding on to that is needs to shift? Mm-hmm. What is emerging for you as we move into winter and are thinking about a new year? Like, what are some of the things that you want to give birth to or create some stillness around?
Yeah, you know, I think it's such a powerful time when the new year is coming because of reflection. And I think my word for 2021 was ease and trying to create more ease in anything that I do. If I'm working, how can I do it more easily? If I'm resting, how can I do it more easily? Because sometimes I'm actively resting. Like, I don't have to be reading a book. I could just be doing nothing. Mm. And so next year, I'm hoping to, you know, really allow all of the work that I've been doing to show up. Sometimes I'm very quiet about a lot of the things that I work on, or, you know, I'm not a bragger. But when you are in business, it's not about bragging. It's about marketing. It's about sharing. It's about being, you know, sometimes just allowing yourself to celebrate yourself and be excited. Yeah. So I think next year I really want to focus on celebrating not only myself and the things that I've achieved, which I don't think I've ever done before, but I also want to encourage self-celebration. I think it's something that after you grow up, other than your birthday, or if you choose to have a child, it doesn't happen that often because it's just like, oh, happy birthday. And then that's it. The rest of the year, you're just hustling and bustling. And I don't want it to just be when you're on vacation or, you know, or when you're on holiday. Like, when, how can you celebrate yourself in small ways and sometimes big ways more often, with or without others? And yeah, that's what I'm definitely bringing into the new year, or hope to bring into the new year.
Nice. I like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've just got a few final questions for you, bit, I guess, of a kind of quick fire. This is all about, you know, helping people to become change makers. I want to give people the tools to be really robust and resilient in, you know, if they are making changes for themselves or if they're supporting and facilitating others to create change. Who has been a change maker in your life that's influenced you?
That's a tough one. I've had a lot. I'm going to choose someone that I adore, who's a writer, but I think Dr. Maya Angelou has been the change maker that I've looked to for guidance when I'm thinking, is this too much? Am I doing too much? Am I too much? You know, the am I too much question that so many of us ask ourselves, especially people who identify as women. And I'm reminded that no, like, do more, be more, stand out more. So yeah.
Like that. What do you need to forgive yourself for as you step into 2022?
Still working too much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's definitely one for us all, right? But when you love it, it doesn't feel like work. Or so that old adage is.
Yeah, that's what they say. I think it still feels like work.
What are three values that you consistently walk in day in, day out?
I always be kind. Just genuinely try to be a person who can support others, and you don't have to go above and beyond what you can offer, but in small ways, how can you support others? And then I'm always interested. I think it's just really important to be honest. I'm sometimes ridiculously honest, and not in a hurtful way. I think you can be honest with people without harming, but I think honesty is the key to a lot of the things that we want in a relationship that we don't give ourselves permission to have with others.
Yeah, that's so true. And how far are we honest?
Right. Mm. Right.
Ooh, I've got one more question. What do you know to be true about yourself, and what might be one thing that you wish people in your life knew more about you?
I think one thing I know to be true about myself is that I do not give up. I'm thankful to be an optimist, and I'm also thankful to be a hard worker. So I really stay focused. But I think one thing I wish other people knew, and I talk about this a lot, that I am still soft, still sensitive, still human. Mm. And just because myself or others have that get it done muscle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we don't still need care and things like that. So I think it's important to remind. And I think that goes for the same way. Like, just because I teach doesn't mean I don't need to be taught. Just because I serve doesn't mean I don't need to be served sometimes. Like, all of that.
Right. It's topping up that tank, right? Mm-hmm. You can't be the change maker without nourishing what is fueling you to be that change as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have loved talking to you. I know that I could go on for days, but we don't have that time. Where can people find out about you, your amazing podcast? Share.
Yeah. So definitely follow me on Instagram at Yasmin Cheyenne. And I, you know, share daily posts. The Sugar Jar podcast is currently on not hiatus, but just on pause until we launch season 4. Mm. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your wisdom today. It has been amazing just having the space to talk to you and get some more of your truth gems.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Hello, hello. Well, what another fantastic episode. Thank you so much for carving out the time to hang out with us and hear everything that was shared today on our podcast. If you are interested in becoming a changemaker and something has piqued your interest and you want to either revamp your own ways of looking at your well-being as you lead a team through change, or maybe you want to create deeper interventions in your company that are going to stick and that people care about actually using, why not join our Changemaker certification? This is our roadmap to helping you go through our 3 areas of change: becoming a better change maker, empowering and inspiring others to do the same, and amplifying the message that you have created. Check out all the details of our Changemaker certification on beachangemaker.co. And I cannot wait to get started with you. See you soon for another amazing episode. Bye for now.